Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Oh, it's cold. It's chilly. I know. I'm sure the furnace is turned on at my house right now, and I hate that it's turned on. It was just days ago. It was so nice, and it's going to turn nice again. I don't want that furnace on. Sarah Wassner Flynn is going to join us in a moment. A book of cute things.
Yeah.
Just all things that are cute. You know, think puppy dogs and penguins, stuff like that. Cute stuff. Let me get to James real quick. And I was told James is on the line. And is this from Pennsylvania?
Yes.
What's going on, James?
I'm cute.
Is that right? So describe yourself. Yeah. What's cute to you?
Oh, I'm middle-aged. A good-hearted person. That's
okay.
Cute to me.
Cute on the inside.
You can't judge a book by its cover, right?
Oh, yeah. Some books you can, though.
You were talking about vitamins. You know, here where this, I live in outside in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, and the steel mill closed down in the 70s. And the overdose rate here in Washington County, Pennsylvania, was the highest overdose rate in the country on heroin.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of different areas that got problems with that, and meth, and fentanyl, and all this stuff.
Oh, my. They're making legalized medical marijuana. I think if they make marijuana available to people, then they won't do as much as the opioids, but... It's like back in the 70s. Do you remember when everybody got Valium and everybody's mothers got Valiums? From a Valium was a big drug in the 70s. Well, that's like opioids today. So I don't know. But my name's James Package, and I listen to you all the time, and I enjoy you. But I wanted to tell you there's snow on the roof, but there's one hell of a fire in the furnace.
That's like the name of a book, isn't it? That would be like the line that the superhero would say right before a big battle, like the wisdom. All right, so there's fire in the furnace. All right, well, right now in Pennsylvania where you're at, what's the temperature?
Oh, I would say it's about 50.
Oh, wow. It's mid-30s here, chillier. But it's going to warm back up today.
Yeah. You've been having all those storms out there. I don't understand it here. I guess because all our news channels here have 50,000-watt Doppler radar. I guess that keeps the storms away.
Oh, who knows? All right, good to hear from you, James. Thanks for checking in.
God bless.
Wow, so snow on the roofs and fire in the furnace. Not bad. I like that. I might as well play this real quick. I didn't have a chance to play it earlier. I thought this was amazing. You see that Ted Cruz, when questioning the people of Facebook and Twitter, had a great question for Twitter. Oh, is this funny? What we see with these social media networks is uneven enforcement of their own rules. And you can argue that the social media platforms have the ability to police themselves. A lot of people believe they're not doing enough policing, right? So they're messing up, and a lot of things that should be taken down are not being taken down. A lot of things that shouldn't be taken down are still being taken down. And he wanted to know if this unequal enforcement that you're seeing on these social media networks are a form of bias or targeting. Now, if it's a form of targeting and you find out that the targeting itself left these certain people with less opportunity, then that's a huge problem. If it's not an equal enforcement of the rules. Now, Ted Cruz brings up this one particular question to Twitter. I think this is hilarious myself. If you use social media, and if you've ever had something taken down on social media, your frustrations, I'm sure, were there. Listen to Ted Cruz.
We know that Senator Blackburn's post was pulled down. Let me ask a comparable
questioned, because it's not just political, it's also ideological. There have been multiple instances of, in particular, pro-life groups being disfavored. For example, here is a tweet that says, abortion is profoundly anti-women, and it's a quote from Mother Teresa. And this tweet was blocked. Now it is fairly remarkable that Mother Teresa is now deemed hate speech. Do either of you agree with the proposition that Mother Teresa is issuing hate speech?
Oh, they don't know what to say.
Is this hate speech?
If I could take a step back from that, I believe that that account is from the Susan B. Anthony list.
Correct.
And Susan B. Anthony is currently an advertiser in good standing on our platform. Last promoted tweet.
You're very good at not answering questions. It just is this hate speech?
Every tweet has context behind it, and every decision that's made has context.
Tweet. There's no more context.
I can tell you that we have actioned accounts on both sides of this debate, including tweets by pro-choice groups who have said that everybody who's pro-life is misogynistic. There are many pro-life groups that advertise on our platforms currently in good standing, and advertisers across the board, whether they're selling soap or NFL, sometimes have advertisements that are caught in our systems.
Well,
and the reason why...
And that is an area we'll be following up as well. So I appreciate your saying there are groups on the pro-choice side that you have blocked, and this committee is going to attempt to understand and quantify if there is a disparate treatment or not. If there's not a disparate treatment, that'll benefit Twitter to show that you're being even-handed. The anecdotes we're aware of are consistently on one side of the aisle.
So go ahead. Is Mother Teresa hate speech? Go ahead, answer the question. Oh, man. I tell you what, that was entertaining to see them squirm. Part of the problem that we have with these social media giants is that they use some pretty terrible bias when it comes to their decision-making processes. And I know that people are imperfect, but the problem is, doesn't matter that their people are imperfect. They stand by their imperfect people, and they put these people here that are not trying to necessarily be perfect in their judgment, but they put in people that are able to put in their own biases, and then they allow those biases to be what dictates their policies. And because of that, certain groups are unfairly treated. Now, it's more than just someone going online and sharing a recipe and then deciding to share something on top of that. Oh, here's something political that some other people might not like, but, you know, it's just the housewife that's doing this sort of thing. We're talking about major organizations and companies. We're talking about people that are out there for certain groups, representing certain groups that are being treated unfairly and differently than the rest of these groups. And you can take note of that, and you can say, well, that hurt them. It had, they had less of an ability to reach people. They may have purchased ads and they were blocked because of something that was unfairly done. They may have taken money from some of these people and not followed through, or not told them they were going to follow through. It's more than just one person that's online and sharing some things that you may not like. I mean, you're talking about some pretty big groups that are, you know, in this case, pro-life groups that share a Mother Teresa quote, and they lose access to all that advertising for something that is truly unfair. So the questions need to be asked, and these social media networks have to answer. Thing is, they're not answering. They're going to get in trouble for not doing that. All right, so what is cute anyway? Sarah Wassner Flynn, A Book of Cute. We'll let her explain next on Overnight America KMOX.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120 KMOX. Depend on it.
Joining us now is the author of a new book out called This Book Is Cute, The Soft and Squishy Science and Culture of Awe, Sarah Wassner Flynn. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
So how would you define cute?
Ooh, that's a tough one. So obviously cute is in the eye of the beholder, so everybody's going to think cute is something different. But when it comes down to one animal versus another, one baby versus another. But there is a universally accepted idea of cute. And that's kind of what we break down in this book. It's the science behind what makes objects, animals, humans so endearing.
You know, it's funny you talk about the science side of it, because I think most people just can identify what is cute without actually being able to define it. They can look online and they'll say, oh, that's definitely cute. And there's normally a lot of people that agree on that sort of thing, and they just go on with their lives. What are those things that you see, like in your social media feeds? Every time it pops up, it's cute, you can't resist, you have to find out what it's about.
So I think anything that's small or baby-esque, so whether it's a puppy with big, you know, puppy dog eyes, or it's a wobbly little penguin, or it's a cute little panda or a sloth or an adorable baby, those are definitely what is going to make people click that, you know, tap that like button, which we go into in This Book Is Cute, is how cute has gone viral. But what those objects all have in common is basically what a researcher named Conrad Lorenz kind of put down in writing in 1942, and that's this Kinder schema. So it's just these distinct characteristics that are universally appealing.
Interesting. Is a zoo your favorite place in the world if you like cute?
I would think so. I mean, sometimes zoo animals can be pretty shy. But yeah, you might as well go out and try to see as much as you can. And then with these books from National Geographic, like This Book Is Cute, you can find any animal in on the pages of our book. So that's what I try to do as a writer for National Geographic, is kind of bring the world to these kids and put it in their hands and show them animals that they might not see at the zoo or ever in their lives, but they can see it in this book.
Yeah, you talk about the psychology behind it all. When, let's say, you start to get a little bit older, does your definition of cute change, or is it pretty much universal from the time you're a kid to the time you're an adult?
I do think that your perspective changes, but there are studies show that the reaction of what happens in our brain when we see something cute starts when you're a toddler, and it continues into adulthood. And that's basically, our brain gets flooded with dopamine when we see something cute. So those characteristics that I spoke of from the Kinder schema, there's these big eyes and, you know, round face of a baby, and the cute roly-poly body of a cute tiny puppy. Those characteristics just trigger that response in our brain, and we just get flooded with these feel-good chemicals. So, and parents will understand, you know, liken it to like, oh, just that no satisfaction of being in love. And then for kids, of course, we say it's like taking a bite of a cookie when you're so hungry and you want something sweet, and your mom gives you, you know, a bite of chocolate chip cookie dough, and it's the best thing ever. It's similar response when we see a cute thing, a cute object. And that's really what the science and psychology of cute is, that the experts I spoke to have, you know, underlined and defined throughout the years.
How serious can you be a scientist of cute? I mean, is it very serious, or do they really enjoy what they're doing and they're kind of having fun with it?
Well, yes. The people I spoke to, I think they really love what they do. I mean, they're definitely scientists and researchers through and through, but they have a fun job in that they get to look at cute things all day and get to, you know, observe baby animals and small children. And yeah, I think that that definitely is a niche in science that is one of the more appealing ones if you want to get into that.
Yeah. Sarah Wassner Flynn is the writer of a book. The book is Cute, The Soft and Squishy Science and Culture of Awe, also author of several children's nonfiction books through National Geographic, which I love how it's laid out. I love the way I describe these books is when you were a kid and they used to wheel in those big metal containers for the book fair, and they'd open it up, and these are always the first ones people would grab, these type of books. So you had to, like, always scope them out and know where the cool books were. This is one of the cool books that you wanted to claim dibs on.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, I have to tip my hat off to the amazing design team, because I just write the words, and then I have a photo editor and a designer who really bring all of my words to life. Mm-hmm. And I'm always blown away by their design and the creativity that they bring to the book. And, you know, it's really a fun process for me to see it from start to finish.
Yeah. Is there anything that's an exception, something that is cute but really shouldn't be cute?
So, yes, we do consider in the books unconventionally cute critters, if you will. We had a hard time. Yeah, so my editor and I went back and forth because we were going to be calling them ugly animals. And we do have references to ugly, but, you know, my editor made a good point once. She said, we can't assume that everybody's going to think these animals are ugly, and it's, we don't want, that's not a good word anyway. We don't want kids to use that word necessarily. So we have unconventionally cute, and these are critters like the platypus and the European mole and the lump sucker fish. They have this really funky features. And, you know, I think in the text I say, they're so ugly, they're cute, because they're just like, you can't not look at them. They're almost like, huh, okay. And they have like, you know, just crazy little things going on with their features. And I have been about defending ugly animals, because there is some research out there that says that scientists are likely to do more conservation work with animals that are more lovable and more admired and endeared around the world versus these lump sucker fish and other supposedly ugly animals. So there's actually a little organization out there that defends ugly animals and wants to bring to light their struggles and their causes as well, so that all animals across the board are considered when it comes to conservation and keeping numbers up among their species.
What is the name of that organization? I'm going to have to look them up.
I think it's just Defending Ugly Animals. You know, I have it in the book here, and it was a while ago when I researched it, but I believe it's just, I can find it for you in a second. Let's see.
What a great organization.
They're in New Zealand. Right. But maybe I don't even mention it, but
Ugly
Animal Preservation Society. Ugly Animal Preservation Society. Yeah. And I just thought, I found that, and I was like, bingo, this has to go in the book.
You know, I'm going to have to see if they have merchandise. That'd be a great T-shirt. The Ugly Animal Preservation Society. I love it. It's almost like the old Little Rascals, where they had the He-Man Woman Hater Club and stuff like that. It kind of has that same word vocal vibe to it or whatever. You know, I was wondering, too, does it drive you crazy when you see certain companies that take advantage of the cuteness of animals? Or do you kind of like it when they're used for marketing and merchandising?
Don't have a strong opinion either way, but I did want to bring to light the way that these icons are used throughout the years. I don't think kids really would know to look at how cute sells and how, for example, the Michelin Man, way back in 1898, they created this I think he was originally supposed to be made out of tires, but he almost looks like Casper the Ghost. Mm. And they use that to sell tires, which obviously aren't cute. There's nothing really cute about tires, but they created this cartoon image to sell tires. And then eventually that evolved into a baby. And then now they're back to the original Michelin Man with some upgrades. And so I created a whole timeline of adorable icons from way back in the Michelin Man to today. And it just shows how, you know, the Affleck duck and Snuggle Bear selling the Downy fabric softener, mm-hmm. just has this appeal. And it's like, well, if you're going to choose between one product and the other, maybe you'll go with the one that has the cute representation versus the, you know, fabric softener that doesn't have this teddy bear associated with it. So that was like really, really fun for me to kind of go through the years and find these iconic figures that have been used to sell their products.
Yeah. Author Sarah Wassner Flynn, writer and editor, authored several children's nonfiction books for National Geographic. Her latest one called This Book Is Cute, The Soft and Squishy Science and Culture of Awe. We'll continue our conversation with her next on Overnight America KMOX.
Get ready for the Cards and Reds tonight. Ameren Total Access 545, First Pitch 640. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
You You know, the book is called This Book Is Cute through National Geographic. She's wrote several different children's nonfiction books. Author Sarah Wassner Flynn joining us here on KMOX. And I know you have some children. I read with your husband, you have three children. And what's weird to me is the things that some children find cute. And let me give you a quick example. What I don't understand is why there's so much marketing and children love the poop emoji, and then they make little plush toys for it. They make, like, they sell merchandising. They have them in movies, and kids love it. They look at stuff like that cute. I never would have imagined in a million years people would be looking at something like that for something that's like a plush toy. So do you see, too, like, the things that your kids enjoy and the things that your kids like is cute? Sometimes you scratch your head and you wonder, what do they see in that?
Oh, yes, of course. I'm just like, well, just the amount of things that they want. Like, they can't just have one little, you know, plushy unicorn. They have to have 17. And I'm just like, why can't you just have one? And, yeah, the poop emoji, I think, is just because they get away with, like, you know, kids always want to use bathroom words. And, like, this gives them a kind of a free pass to use that because it's everywhere. And, actually, I had a friend who was older. He's an adult. And for the longest time, he thought it was Hershey Kisses. And then his kids had to say, Dad, that's a poop emoji. That's not a Hershey Kiss. I don't even know. My youngest probably doesn't. Originally, now she knows. But I think originally she probably thought it was, you know, Hershey Kisses as well. Yeah. So, yeah. But that's the fun of being a writer for kids is that because I have kids in the house, they you know, without even knowing it, they inform me on all the trends and what they're into, and then I can kind of go from there. So I definitely used what they and their friends are into as inspiration for this book.
One last question for you, and you talk about how cuteness could be hardwired biologically inside of us, and do you find that there's any cultural differences between certain countries? Some things are cute here but not cute there?
I didn't actually find that there was anything that was different. I do think that, you know, sometimes there's animals on different planets, I'm thinking about the solar system, animals on different continents that we might not see an animal, for example, in Australia. Well, kids always love koalas, but you never know, like, what, from one kid to another, for animals, what's considered cute. But basically what I found is that the culture of cute is everywhere in the world, and especially in certain parts of the world, it's huge. And so it's like $1 million business. Cute really drives like $1 million business industry in Japan. And so I went to Japan for the book. Well, figuratively, I researched Japan, and we take kids, you know, on a figurative tour of Japan just because there's so much cute in Japan. And so, you know, cute is, I think, something that is universally similar across the board, and you're going to see kids loving the certain, because of that, going way back to that research, I think you're going to see that kids are, you know, it's appealing. Cute things are appealing to kids wherever you go.
Sure. This book is cute. If people want to check it out, find it for their kids, their grandkids, or even for themselves, where can they find it?
You can find it wherever books are sold. It's on Amazon. It's on Target.com. You can go to Barnes & Noble, and then also you can discover more about all the books that National Geographic sells at NatGeoKids.com.
NatGeoKids.com. But this book is cute, The Soft and Squishy Science and Culture of Awe. Author Sarah Wassner Flynn had a lot of fun here today. Thank you for talking cute with us on KMOX.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Aw, isn't that something? Ah, good old cute things. Cute, cuddly things. Oh, Joy's been waiting from Florissant. What's going on, Joy?
I'm doing fine, Ian. I want to thank you for having her on again because I heard her last week.
Yeah, we had her on one night before. I saved it. I liked the interview so much.
Thank you very much because I went into the preservation line. Mm-hmm. And they had a picture of a blobfish.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, he's so ugly, he's cute.
Yeah, that's a pretty ugly animal. So the blobfish itself, how would you describe it for someone that hasn't seen one?
What was that stuff, that green stuff? slime.
Slime. You know, the way I would describe it is, let's say you open up the funny pages of a paper, and you found a Mr. Magoo paper in like a comic, and then you took Silly Putty, and then you put it over Mr. Magoo's head, and then like stretched it and squished it. That's kind of how I would explain a blobfish.
Well, it's kind of like if you drop it, it kind of spreads.
Yeah.
Because then I looked at the blobfish. Of course, I had to.
What,
and,
video?
No, just on Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's gelatinous. It's like, well, that's cute.
Is that right?
But I also found that Target has a collection of blobfish stuffed animals.
Oh, of course. That's actually pretty neat. What does it look pretty accurate to what the animal looks like?
Well, one of them does and one of them doesn't. I mean, you know, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
You know, but it's on Etsy and eBay.
I know even I know you're a big animal advocate. I heard you call into Mike Miller's program once on a Saturday morning.
Did you hear me about the moles?
Yeah, I heard you call in, and you were upset about the traps that were being set for something.
Yeah.
I forgot what the trap was for, but it was something along those lines.
Yeah, murderers.
Yeah, you called in to Mike Miller. Someone wanted to get rid of something on their property, and he was talking about a trap, and then you called in, and you were upset about that.
I can't believe you heard that.
Yeah, I did. I just so happened to listen. I was in the car with my son. We just went to Waffle House for some breakfast, and I was in the car driving home, and I heard you call in.
Well, bless your heart. I was kind of ticked off that day. It's like, I'm tired of you.
Well, I just want to let you know, you must listen all the time if you're calling into Saturday morning shows like that.
Well, I used to love this show until he started killing moles.
Oh, the mole side of it. Well, then you listen every once in a while then. How many hours a day do you listen to KMOX?
Oh, my gosh. Charlie Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Rush Limbaugh, not all the time. The afternoon, what's his name? Oh,
Reardon.
Reardon, thank you. And then, of course, you.
Wow.
Sometimes sports. I mean, I do it quite a bit. And, you know, at the same time, I'm watching TV or something, you know.
You know what?
I just turn you guys up.
So today is April 15th. Tomorrow is April 16th. Let me double check a date on here. Let's see, let me go back to 2017. My very first day at KMOX was Sunday, April 16th. So technically tomorrow is my 2-year anniversary at KMOX.
Well, happy anniversary.
Can you
believe
that?
I'm glad you're there.
2 years, I can't believe it.
I'm glad you're there. I'm glad your family's there, and I'm glad your dog's there. You ever scratch his belly when I ask you to?
Oh, all the time, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he's getting old. He's definitely getting old, but he loves a good belly rub.
Well, that's why I keep saying scratch his belly for me.
All right, Joy, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling
in. Well, good to hear from you, and you have a great one, okay?
You too.
And watch those blobfish.
I'll keep my eye out. No rogue blobfish. Finding its way around here. All right, bye.
We love them. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, the blobfish is weird. If you don't know what it is, I think Ted Cruz got made fun of for online. The internet thought, oh, look, Ted Cruz looks like a blobfish or whatever. One, you know, they wanted to throw an insult at him that way. Okay, whatever. So if you missed the Ted Cruz clip from last hour, or did I play it at the start of the hour? Oh, was that good? Ted Cruz taking on Twitter. So good. Worth checking out on the podcast. KMOX.com/overnight, where you can listen to any part of the show. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Making the darkness of night a little brighter. It's Ryan Recker and Overnight America on KMOX.
We've got a couple of minutes left together. Today's quite a historic day, so April 15th. 154 years ago today, President Lincoln died in Washington the morning after being shot by John Wilkes Booth over in the Ford's Theater. Crazy, isn't it? Something else. So, I mean, there's a lot of other things that happened on the 14th. Titanic sinking was one of those days, too. I don't normally do today in history, but there's just a lot that goes on in this time of the year. I wanted to play this because I didn't play it all the way through before. There's a principal in Lexington, Kentucky, and he is so good. I mean, I could listen to him talk all day. If he was a teacher in my school, I'd have paid attention better just because I think the guy talks funny. Like, you know, funny in a good way, like, oh, that's fun. Oh, I like the way that guy talks. So he is in Lexington, Kentucky, kind of has that little southern feel to it. Instead of saying everybody says Erbur, you'll catch on. But his name is Jerry Brooks. You can look him up online on Twitter, on Facebook, or YouTube. That's where I found these online. A principal takes on parents who bend the rules over and over and over again. And so he's thought, you know what? These parents can't figure it out. Might have to send them to Parent University. What a good idea for this. This guy's great.
Have you ever shown up at your child's school unannounced and tried to have a parent-teacher conference right there in the office?
Parent right there.
Do you have an
He sounds like, what's Tyler Perry's Medea? Tyler Perr?
Urge to email your child's teacher and ask them to move your child every other week so they can sit by somebody different, or ask for them to be sitting by somebody different in the lunch room. Have you ever run over a traffic cone or beeped your horn into car rider line? I've got an answer for you. Boom. That's right. It's my new Parent Online University. I got to thinking that everybody needs some kind of certification. Plumbers, hairdressers, nail ladies, teachers.
Hairdressers, nail ladies. All right. If you're not enjoying this now, you're going to hate the next minute and a half. I think this guy is awesome. But as a parent, now that my kid is at the age where he's going to eventually get to kindergarten and on, he's still in preschool right now, getting a little bit of work done. And man, he's progressed a lot since then. And I'll tell you this, I totally understand it now. I just know what's going to happen when he's in that classroom setting. There's going to be parents like that, and it's going to have to keep myself in check not to become one of the parents.
Teachers, doctors, everybody needs some kind of certification, but guess what? Who don't? Parents. Can you imagine how hard it must be to be a parent without any kind of classes? So I've developed Parent Online University to help out our parents. And here's our winter classes. This is our brochure. It's just been announced. You can take Communication 101. So you're going to learn how to call without screaming and yelling about anybody or being accusatory or calling central office instead of calling your child's school. It's going to be a great class. And look at this one right here. Everybody's going to need to know this one. Appropriate clothing options for parent-teacher conferences and PTA meetings. Everybody needs that. Lord, we got to put away them Winnie the Pooh pajamas. We're going to take a...
Parents do not show up to meetings in Winnie the Pooh pajamas. That doesn't happen. Oh, please don't tell me that happens. I've been to a couple of these functions at my kids' preschool. I didn't notice anyone showing up in pajamas. Oh, would that be it? Please.
Everybody needs that. Lord, we got to put away them Winnie the Pooh pajamas. We're going to take a trip to Walmart and this for a field trip for this class. It's going to be great.
Oh, that's funny.
And look right here at this one. Attitude adjustments from helicopter to helpful in 1 week. Are you a helicopter parent? You trying to eat lunch with your child or a single day?
Oh, no.
Are you volunteering so that you can peek in your child's room all the time?
Oh, no.
We got to get rid of that helicoptering. These are going to be great classes. And look, if you're too busy for a month-long class, we even got Saturday classes. They're mini courses right here. Look right here. How to say no to your child.
Oh, I know he's joking and he's doing this tongue-in-cheek, but a lot of parents would benefit from this. Oh, would this be great?
Everybody needs that one. And then this one right here is a really good one, too. Car rider line, traffic cones to your friends, and other useful tips for navigating the car rider line. This is just going to be absolutely great for all parents. We're going to get them, everybody certified. They're going to be talking.
Parents. You always write about the carpool line or the car line. When I was a kid, this is how it worked. You know, your parents kind of like went to that one curve or whatever, and then you ran out of the car up to the side of the building and you waited in line until it was time to go inside. And then once the school opened up the doors, you're able to walk inside to the classroom. It was just like that. That's how we lined up outdoors, ready to go inside the school. Things are so much different now. It's so well organized. It is, you know, you get the traffic cops out there or the different people that have the stop signs, the slow signs, things like that. Not actual cops, but you know what I mean. They got the signs if they're the crossing guards are there. You know, they want to make sure these kids are safe. They're not just jumping out of the car like it's a helicopter, you know. they're leaving for the war or whatever. It's not like that. It's so much different from when I was a kid.
This is just going to be absolutely great for all parents. We're going to get them, everybody certified. They're going to be taught by some great parents and some educators.
Parents.
And here's the thing. Teachers in schools, we got a discount for you. It's just going to be a nickel, and you'll get 700 codes to give out to parents to take the classes. So all you got to do is send me a nickel, and I'm going to give you 700 codes, and then parents are going to be able to enroll in parent online universities for free. Isn't that going to be great? Get your codes today.
Oh, I love this guy. Jerry Brooks. Gary? No, Jerry. I think it's Jerry Brooks. Oh, is he so good. He got another one here talking about parents who bend the rules when it comes to the Lori Loughlins and things of the world, the ones that are out there bribing schools to get their kid into college.
This story has been all over the news and into magazines lately. This is magazine. Where Aunt Becky and a bunch of other people committed fraud to get their child into the college they wanted him to. Some of them paid to say their kids were on a certain sports team, or some of them paid to have somebody else take their ACTs and SATs. They committed fraud to get their kids into college. Everybody's just so surprised about this. You know who's not surprised? Or an educator in the whole world. Do you know why? Because this kind of thing happens every day.
Every day. Does he do that on purpose for the videos, or is he really like that? I just... There's some people that have a certain voice that you just enjoy listening to. And he's one of them.
It's schools. You know what this is? A parent not agreeing with a policy or a rule, sometimes even a law. So they're just going to do whatever they want because they think it's best for their child. Yeah, I signed my child's reading log, but he didn't read. But we had a soccer game until 10 o'clock. And I disagree with that policy. They should have to read or a day anyways. You know who else disagrees with policies? Aunt Becky. Oh, yeah. I seen it in fast food with my child because it's their birthday. I know we're not supposed to, but I disagree with that school rule that we shouldn't be able to send fast food in for their lunches. You know who else disagrees with rules? Aunt Becky. Oh, I know people are going to say, oh, I can't believe you're comparing the same things because these people hurt other kids. Well, let me tell you what else hurts other kids. When you lie about where you live so you can send your child to the school you want to send them to because you think it's better academically or it's got a better sports team.
Aunt Becky.
Well, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I really want my child to go to that really good school or that basketball team's better, and my child needs to be on a good basketball team. You know who else did things like that? Aunt Becky.
Oh, getting right into the Aunt Beckys of the world. Check this guy out. He, I think, is hilarious the way he handles these things. And there's some pretty good topics there. As an educator, I bet things are difficult for you. And I totally get that. You know, it's never really been easy. Has there ever been a time where being an educator is an easy job? But, yeah, there's a lot of things that are being hassled. You know, some things are good, some things are bad when it comes to that. You got to be careful. Times are a-changing, man. Schools are a crazy place anymore anyway. If you send your kids to public school, you know that already. You got to be very mindful to teach your kids the right thing. Make sure they know what is right, what is wrong, because, you know, they got to have that constitution, that strong ground to stand on going into school anymore. But just don't be that helicopter parent that gets in their way and screws it all up for them. All right, that does it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow after Cardinals baseball. Let's hope they can get another win. Find me on Twitter at Ryan Recker, the podcast at KMOX.com/overnight.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.